So as I was sharing, I want to open this up and read a few of these prophecies. I've been a part of all of these. Don't remember all of them. I was there running sound, so I don't remember a lot of them, but as I read them, they come back. This was a prophecy to RLCC and Pastor Zutterbach in Peace Hall in New Jersey, Teaneck, New Jersey, April 20th, 1982. And this is the part, and I'm just, and as I'm going to share here just a qualifier, I'm not reading the entire prophecy because some of them are too long. But I'm pulling out what's appropriate for us today, because those prophetic words spoken were to them and the church then, but it's overall, it's to this church. God didn't say it was just for them then. It was to the church. And so I just share that I've extracted this, a little bit of this towards the end of this prophecy. This was given by Buddy and Pat Harrison. Buddy Harrison, Pat Harrison was Brother Hagin's daughter. Buddy Harrison was his son-in-law. And he says this, "And so now you see the leaders of the East." He's talking about the Utterbox here. "And it has been because they have been faithful to give you a feast upon the good word of God and cause you to grow. And so shall the numbers increase, and the people will know that they know. And faith shall be established, and hope shall be in their life, so that there will be victory, and people all over this part of the country will come into the abundant life. And it is because a man was faithful to say, 'I will walk where he tells me to walk, and I will be what he wants me to be, and I will say what he wants me to say.' And so this will be a testimony unto you in the days ahead for you to remember all that has been done. Because it," now I want you to listen to this. This is what caught me when I read this again. "Because," see, this was spoken to him, but listen to this. "Because it belongs unto every believer." "But only those who are faithful to run." Yes. See. "So you be diligent to run the same race." He's talking to us. "You be diligent to run the same race, and you'll have the same wonderful glory smiling upon your face. So it's not limited unto just one, but all may enter therein and walk and free a many a man from his poverty and from his sin. So you've got your part to play, so run your race well, and then you will have the glorious story to tell." It's for all of us to run this race and to do what God tells us to do. You see. This was given, this prophetic word is a little longer, but this was given by Kenneth Copeland in 1983, October 27th, 1983. It was in Philadelphia. Happened to be at that crusade. And again, this is some of it, not all of it. It says, "I didn't know you were going to be in this meeting, and I was praying about you and your wife this afternoon and the work that you're doing. And the Lord wanted me to tell you," now listen, this is really important here. "The Lord wanted me to tell you that the area that you're ministering in has been given to you." Been given to you. "The way cities were given to armies of old, the way Jericho was given to Joshua, the walls of doubt and unbelief will fall flat as you raise up the army of God in the area where you live, and it'll be no small thing. It'll be no small thing, saith the Lord." Hallelujah. Now listen to the rest of this. He goes on. He says, Well, you know, I started to name the area that you're in, and the Lord stopped me and wouldn't let me do it. He said, no, I'd have been too small. I wouldn't have reached out far enough. So you know what you're believing for. He wasn't just talking about Hackensack. This was in 1983 before we moved here. He stopped him because he wouldn't have said where we are. God's got bigger plans, and they're not done. He said, don't ever get the idea, saith the Lord, that I've come to anywhere close to stopping. I have not stopped, neither is my arm shortened, for these are the days of my power. These are the days that I have called to reckon, saith the Lord. And my people are being raised up into a mighty army and welded together by the spirit of love and the spirit of grace and the spirit of giving and the spirit of life. For these are the days of the coming to pass of all the things the way they're written, saith the Lord. And he goes on. I'm not going to read that. This was the dedication service here in 1985 in the Circle Sanctuary. September 15th. This is a little longer, but you'll hear the thread or the theme here. This was given by Brother Copeland. Do you remember, saith the Lord, in the book of Revelation, and also in the book that my servant read tonight, do you remember where there was a light, a candlestick standing, but it had two olive trees on each side? And the prophet said, I don't know what that is. And the angel said, that's where the oil comes from. The oil flows out of those olive trees into those lamps, keeping the light on, keeping the light on, keeping the light on. Well, your pastors are the light. Jesus is the light shining through them. But you're a part of the, you're a branch on the olive tree. Think about that now. What produces the fruit? The branch. It says, we're the branch on the olive tree. The oil of the Holy Ghost, the oil of intercession, the oil of your giving, the oil of your love is flowing into them, and the light is going to get brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. And there are people all the way over in Manhattan. There are people all the way up and down this whole East Coast that'll say, what is that bright light on the horizon? What is that that I see? What is that I see? Oh, there's something calling me. There's something calling me. What is that? What is that? And the closer they get, they're like a bug going to a light shining in a dark place. The closer they get, the warmer it gets. And the warmer it gets, the more powerful it is. And as you are the oil to the lamp, I will draw the people here, saith God. And the more of them that come, the more oil there'll be. And the more oil there is, the brighter the light, and the brighter the light, the more people will come. And the more people that come, the more oil there'll be. And the more oil there is, the brighter the light, and the brighter the light, the more people come. And the more people come, the more oil there is. And the more oil there is, the brighter the light. And the brighter the light, the more people come. What are you doing in this small place? All my plans are big, saith the Lord. My plans are large. And the only way that it can eventually come to pass in the fullness of what I have planned is when the other churches and all the believers begin to hook their lights together. Only then will the vessel be big enough to contain all my lights, saith the Holy Ghost. One man or one woman can't shine as bright as I am, but all the men and all the women can. For as they come together, I cannot just manifest myself in them as individuals, but in the combination of the two, there is tenfold strength. So this is what he's talking about to this church. Yes, it was given at that time, to the church then and to Pastor Clinton and Sarah, but it pertains. This is what he says. And you're going to get a revelation in this church of the unity of the body of Christ that very few walked in. And you're going to carry it. And you're going to walk in it. And people are going to call you all kinds of funny things. But one thing they're going to wind up saying, I'll tell you, them folks are strange, but they're getting everybody together. They're getting everybody together. They're getting everybody together. And I'm going to shine all over this nation from this place. And then the time will come when whole vessels full of people, buses full of people, ships full of people, airplanes full of people going all over the world, taking that light, going into places all over the world, and they're going to see, and they're going to understand more than they understood about God ever in their lives. They're going to say that that's that bunch from that, what is it, redeeming love. Is that what they say? Well, I can understand why they call it that, because that's the loveliest people and the lovingest people I have ever met in my life. For my love is the light that'll draw people. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me, saith the Lord. I am the love of my Father, and my Father's love is me. My love is you, and you are the manifestation of my love. All over the world, people are going to be saying, where are you coming from? You're going to say, oh, just a little place over in New York, just a little place, just a few of us over there that love God and have grown into a lot of them that love God. Then just a few more and 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 a few more will turn into a few thousand and thousands here and thousands there. Some of you will go into foreign nations to stay and live. Some of you will bring the word of God into the most poverty-stricken places in all the world. And some of you are going to stand before kings and queens, knowing how to be abased and knowing how to prosper, how to abound in the face of all things, declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now listen, this is, I'm going to keep adding to this here. This is the word of the Spirit, and this is the purpose of the Spirit in raising this place up. It's good to go back and look at these, because the Holy Ghost is saying, here's the reason I rose up this church. And bringing about a foundation that's laid on a rock and laid deep, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And my mighty power and my mighty Spirit will flow in this place in proportions that up until now have only been the wildest, fondest dreams, all found in the corners of people's thinking. But I'm going to bring it to pass, saith God, if you'll walk upright before me and keep this place pure, keep it pure on the word, keep it pure financially, and keep it pure sexually, and I will cause this place to shine so bright with the same light that caused Saul of Tarsus to fall on his face and say, what is it, Lord? They'll come from miles around. For when they come in this place, when they set foot on this ground, they'll know that they are in a holy place, saith the Lord. Now, continuing. Well, I'm going to have to go ahead and say this. I withdrew from it a little bit because I didn't just know exactly how to say it. And it has to do with this church and this congregation again. But not only this one, but others in other places. But this is one of them. He's talking about us here now. I said earlier that this is a mighty church, a church filled with might. And people have called my congregation in Seoul, Korea, saith the Lord, a mighty and huge church. He's talking about Pastor Youngji Cho's church. But that's not big for the Lord when a people will pray. See, talking about praying out the plan of God. And I'm going to raise those up all over the world. If you'll let me, I'll raise that up here. You'll have to pray and seek my face. Don't seek the biggest church in the world. Just seek me. I'm going to raise up congregations all over the world with hundreds of thousands of people in it. My hour has come, saith the Lord, and I'm going to do it here if you'll let me. Bigger if you'll let me. My plans are so big that if I told you what they are and showed you a picture of it, you couldn't believe it. You couldn't describe it. And you'd say, not so, Lord, that can't even be. But it will be, and you'll comprehend it. And of course, he's talking to them at this point in 85, and he said, and within 3 years' time, you'll begin to see it. And then he goes on here, and he said, but this church that is going to be held, he said, this church is going to be held responsible for being a mighty church. A church not only just with the power of God, but a revelation and a manifestation of his mighty power. And then this here was spoken in 2003 by Brother Copeland. And actually, this was spoken concerning both Pastor Clinton and Sarah, but he wasn't there. This was just Pastor Sarah there. He says, last night, he says, every time I started to move on it, it would just seem like it was hell. But I'll say it to you now. Your ministry, the thing God has called you and Pastor to do, is just now completed its base and foundation, just now. I mean all the years that it's taken. But the reason it takes a long time to build some foundations, this is 20-some years now, is because of the size of what it's going to have to hold up. And right now you're beginning to build the house that God has called you to build, the ministry house. So I hope you can see the words starting at the beginning of this ministry and God's intentions. And he's really giving not only the pastors, and of course Pastor Clinton is in heaven, Pastor Sarah has turned the reins over to myself and Pastor Greg, but whoever's in that position, that lead position, you need to keep an eye on these prophecies that have been given to this ministry. Think about it. Moses was given a direction. He didn't see it fulfilled, but it was given to who? Joshua and Caleb. And so they had to carry out those plans and purposes that God gave. So whoever's in these positions, God had spoken to the principal founders of this ministry. Regardless of whether they're in position or not, it's God's purpose to see it fulfilled. It doesn't change just because leadership changes. And that's the thing that God keeps putting in my heart. He said, I'm going to hold you responsible because you know, see? And so there are things that have been destined and designed for this church and ministry that God has spoken that have some have come to pass, some haven't. But it doesn't negate them. They're still God's design and plan. Just like he said, through Brother Copeland, I've given you the area. He was speaking to Pastor Clinton at that time. I've given you the area that you're ministering in. Well, when he went to heaven, that didn't change. Amen. It didn't change. He's given this area to this church to minister in. And so we need to know that. Some of you just don't know that. And it's good to know that. See. And of course, some who've been here know that when Pastor Clinton passed and he went to heaven, there was roughly two-thirds of the people left. Well, that's the same thing that happened when Brother Hagin left and he went to heaven. Same thing happened. They had about two-thirds of their membership just leave. It's the same thing. But the plans and purposes that God designed for Rhema didn't change. The mantle and the baton was passed to the son, and they're carrying that out and seeing it fulfilled. But it has to be prayed out. It has to be pursued, you see. And the same thing here. This was a word spoken to Pastor Greg and myself when we were ordained by Pastor Hagin in 2013. He said, "Ed, Greg, come here. As co-pastors, the Lord says to you, I set things in motion years ago. Sometimes you have wondered and you have questioned, but know this, as you work together, each allowing the other's strengths to come forth, you will see a springing forth as the phoenix sprung out of the ashes. You will see a renewal that you've longed for and prayed for, and the anointing is upon you to do it in the name of Jesus." Well, I received that, and so did Pastor Greg. And then more recently, Apostle Mike Keyes was here. This was in October of last year. You could see the thread in all of this, or the similarities in this. He said, "For I have given this church a special anointing, a special forces anointing. It's a military anointing for the work and for the tasks ahead. I have declared this from the beginning, and the devil has tried to stop this, tried to detour this, tried to destroy this, but it has not worked, and it shall not and cannot. And my vision for this work is much larger than what you have here. What you see here is but the tip of my iceberg. And the anointing that I have imparted to all of you here tonight, as members of this particular body, this army within my army, is a military anointing. It is a special forces anointing. I'm going to require you to rise up and operate at a higher level, because I need for you to be out there on the front lines, the tip of the spear, so to speak." Must be spear. "Because I want you to launch a revival in this part of your country, in this part of your state, and I want to use you. I want to ordain you in these things, and this is the purpose for what has happened tonight. Understand this, the vision for this church is far beyond the property you stand on tonight, far beyond your expectations, far beyond your present level of confessions. Don't try to figure things out. I'm going to make it happen, but as I do, it will be because you take this anointing that I have imparted to you and you allow through usage, development of that anointing. There is a military operation. This is a military forward fire base. That is what this church is, a forward fire base. And from here, I am going to launch out into the dark part of your country. I'm going to impregnate this place with the light of the gospel that comes from you and from this place. So see yourself the way my word says that you are. Don't be caught up with trivial difficulties, trivial disagreements, trivial arguments. Never mind any of these things. Understand the bigger picture and see things from my viewpoint, not from yours. I'm already at work. There are angels assigned that have been at work in the unseen realm to make favor surround you like a shield, and favor and finance to find you. It will find you. So understand this and get on board. Help me accomplish what my spirit wants to accomplish in this part of America because what I need this country to have and for this country to do, a county to do, to reach other parts of this world in my name, while there is still time to reach other parts of the world in my name. And then he finished up with a few other words. But I wanted to take that time to just paint a little picture of the words that God has spoken to this ministry. And it excites me because it includes all of us. Amen. And we all have a part to play. And we all have, going into this new year, as I said, some of us have had a challenging past year. But God is faithful. And he still has a desire to accomplish something far out, way out beyond what we can even ask or think. Amen. And some of the things I'm not at liberty to discuss. We had somebody, and I didn't read that prophecy here by Dr. Frederick Price when he was here, now Apostle Price, but Dr. Price in 1990 was here at our 10th anniversary, and he had a prophetic word, and I'll sum it, and basically he said, I know you like it here, but he said, you might as well take pictures because you're not going to stay here. And then he went on and so forth and shared some things, but ultimately he said, we're not going to stay in this building. Because God, when you read some of these other prophecies, the plans that God has for this church is bigger. Amen. Now, I don't understand it all. And I'm sure you're sitting there going, yeah, right. I don't either. But I'm willing enough and smart enough to know that reputable men of God and women of God have spoken under the unction of the Spirit. And I just believe it. Amen. And there are some things that God has put in my spirit to know. Some I've shared, some I'm not willing to share at this point. That I know that God has some things in store here, but it's going to take us all, it's going to take all of us to come together in corporate prayer and pray out the plans that God has for this ministry. Amen. And I'm telling you, and it's going to come to pass. Amen. As Brother Hagin liked to say, he says, you can be a part of it or not. But we're going over. And we're going to get to what he's designed. So let me share these thoughts here. Great gifts require great responsibility. Great gifts require great responsibility. Great gifts will cause great tests. Some of you say amen to that. Great gifts will cause great tests. And the measure of those gifts will sometimes determine the tests that you walk through. Look at Paul. The Lord said, I showed him what he was going to have to go through. What great trials and tests he would have to go through. Great gifts require great faith. And I'm going to put in there faithfulness, because you can't be faithful without faith. Great faith, or you could say great faithfulness. I just wrote these, we put these down here. Whatever fills your heart will control you. If you're filled with faith, it'll control you. So I just make this point here. Make God this year your top priority. Make him and his word and his things your top priority. Make his plans, his visions, his determinations for you personally and corporately for this ministry, and just the plans of God. You know, sometimes we can get together and God will show you. I've heard ministers, and this is what Billy Brim talks about, where people would get together and just lay out and pray. Pray in what? The Holy Ghost. Because you're praying for things you don't even know about. It says when we pray in the Spirit, we pray to God mysteries. Or some scripts, translations say divine secrets. Well, what does that mean? There's things I don't know about. But as I pray, as I yield myself to prayer, he might have me pray for something going on in another country, that doors would open up to the gospel. This is what God is desiring, that we come together and pray out the plan of God. This is what Apostle Mike was saying. He's saying we come together as a group and pray. He wants to use this church to initiate a revival in this part of the country. How is that going to come about? Through prayer. Amen. Corporate prayer. So let's turn over to Hebrews 11:6. And a familiar scripture. And it says, but without faith, I'm reading from the King James, it is what? Impossible. What is impossible? That means not possible. It's impossible to what? To please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now this word faith in the Greek is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. It just means, essentially, it just means to have conviction, confidence, or trust. But it also means fidelity and faithfulness. The character of one who can be relied on. So you would not be misrepresenting the scripture if you said, but without faithfulness, it is impossible to please him. You can't say I have faith and then be unfaithful. Amen. Because when you say faith, that means you are faithful. Faithful to God. Another scripture, you don't have to turn there, Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is what? Faithful that promised. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. See, this is the one thing, and I like the New Living, it says, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful. And when you're unfaithful, he remains faithful. For he cannot deny himself. Now let's jump over. I want to spend a few minutes here, just a few. Matthew 25. This is the parable of the talents. Matthew 25, and look at verse 14, starting in verse 14. And I'm going to read from the King James. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received the 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. That wasn't good. Anybody read this story? That would not be good. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, what did he say? Well done, thou good, faithful servant. Faithful servant. Faithful what? Faithful over what he gave him. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid. No faith. And went and hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said to him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. From him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm going to make a statement here. You can only be faithful with what you have. You can't be faithful with opportunities you don't have yet. You can only be faithful with what you have been given. We will only be held accountable for what we know or had an opportunity to do. So when the Lord speaks to us, that's why I'm saying all of these things here, when God spoke to us regarding the church. That's why I take the time to read these prophecies, because they pertain to us. When we say, let's come together and get together in corporate prayer so we can pray out the plans of God. And you say, oh, I'm not led. Well, you can only be faithful with the opportunities that you have. So if we're not faithful with what we had an opportunity to do today, we will not have the greater opportunities tomorrow, because you must be faithful in that which is least in order to qualify for more. So you have to be faithful with the least that you've been given to qualify for the more. That's why I'm convinced God elevates through faithfulness. I didn't ask to be in this position. God put me in this position. But I can tell you, I served and served and served and served and served and served with a heart of service to the pastors at that time. And I know a lot of, and most of you have here, so I'm not telling you something you don't already know, but always keep in mind that God should be our first priority. Yes, we have responsibilities. We have families. We have children. We have husbands, wives, jobs. We have all of that. But he's still first. He's still the first priority in all of it. So God elevates us through our being faithful over a few things. Luke 16 and verse 10, he said, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in the much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? If you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" God knows who to give more to. The scripture bears that out. He knows who to give more to. I heard Brother Copeland say this one time. He said, "Lord, why are you giving me all this stuff to do?" He said, "Because there are some that won't do what I'm asking them to do. So I have to give it to somebody that'll do it." He was moaning and groaning. "Why are you giving me another thing to do? I got enough to do." This is what we just got done reading here about the talents. God taking away one to give it to someone else who's faithful in doing the work. How do you know what someone will do with $1 million? Exactly what they're doing with what they have now. I put this down. If you're not sure what someone will do with what you give them, then give them a broom or something small. You may laugh, but if you're not sure what somebody will do with what you're going to give them something less. Amen. Till they are proven faithful. God proves us. I'll get down to a scripture over here. Let me jump ahead here and read this scripture. Well, maybe I won't. I'll leave that for another time. So the biggest indicator that we can look at is, what are we doing with what we have? Amen. Our maturity. If you don't tithe off $1,000, you won't tithe off $1 million. You won't. Gets quiet when we talk about money. The little things matter. It's not the significance of the task or charge, but it's the faithfulness and submission or integrity of ourselves and being faithful in whatever God has assigned you to do. Whatever that is, and it's not the size of the task. The key is, are you faithful to do what God has told you to do, even if it's just sweeping or vacuum, whatever that is, whatever God has put in your heart to do, if you're faithful to do that, he sees that and rewards that. See. Well, I'm going to close with this, just, and we'll pick up in some other lessons. How do we become faithful or more faithful? Anybody have a thought? We reproduce after its own kind. How do you become faithful or more faithful? You reproduce. What does John 15 say? It says, stay connected to the vine. The branch cannot produce of its own self, can produce nothing unless it's connected to the vine. The vine is faithful. God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful. And of course, there's other scriptures that talk about his character and nature, but he is faithful. But we produce or reproduce after him by staying connected to him.
Amen.
And that's how we become more faithful. And as we, I believe, what does the scripture say? And we read it all the time. Why don't we turn over there? I believe it's 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And look at verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now, he that ministereth seed, and the seed is not just money, it can be your time. He that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister what? Bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown. So, you know, you always hear people say, well, you know, when I give my time, God will make time for me in other places, in other ways. Here he's saying here, he will multiply your seed sown and do what? Increase the fruits of your righteousness. So as we become more faithful, he's going to increase that in us,
Amen.
The capacity in us. What did I say? Great responsibilities require great faithfulness. Great gifts, I said, require great responsibility. And great gifts will sometimes cause great tests. But these great gifts are going to require responsibility. What has God done? He's given this church some responsibility, and it takes the gifts God has put. You can go over and look in 1 Corinthians 12. God has put into this church gifts that are being developed. Some are being used, some not. But God has put gifts in the church for the purpose of the church to do the things that God has assigned and to do. So we need to be, as we go into this year, be prayerful about the things that God is speaking to your heart. Don't say, I can't do that, I don't know. He's pulling people out to do things. There are gifts in you that God wants to use.
Amen.
And the first thing is we're going to start praying more this year to pray out the plans of God, because as we keep hearing in these prophecies, it's bigger than what we can even imagine. The things that God has planned for this church and the purpose for this church. So I share that, you know, to just kind of remind us all of the words that God has spoken to this ministry. And to keep that, you can't say now you didn't know. And the CDs are free, so you can't, you know, you just get them and listen to them. Free means what? No excuse. There's no excuse for you not getting something and listening to it if you're interested. And we should be. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I hope you got something to feed on as we go into this new year, that just keeping in focus. You know, I like to, you know, I know all of us, you like to know where you're going. And one thing is, for a church, you want to know where you're going. This right here, God is showing us, this is the direction for this church. He's not giving us specifics. Now, in some things, he has given specifics to certain things that we know, some things we've articulated. Some were not, because it's just some things you just want to not be public about it. But God has a plan. And it's bigger than we can think or even imagine. And it is going to come to pass. And, you know, I keep thinking, you know, when you talk about revival and an awakening and thousands of people coming into a church, God knows something that we don't see yet. That's why when you look at it and say, well, how could this facility not be big enough? He knows something I don't know. And so it's good to just go along with the plan of God. You know, you've heard so many people say, you know, I just think that's the one for me, right? And you're going to go marry that person, and then 15 years down the road, you're going, ooh, this wasn't a good idea. Well, he knew that before you got married. You didn't see it then, but maybe 15, 20 years down the road, it's a mess because you didn't see it. So that's why when God says, I know some things, you're not going to stay in this building and you're trying to figure it out. What does Proverbs 3 say? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he'll direct your paths. So I'm smart enough to know, if he says something, the one that created this world and flung everything into existence, he knows. Stop trying to figure it out. Just get busy with his plan. Make his plan first priority. That doesn't mean you're not responsible at home. I don't mean that. You do the things you're responsible for, but you keep him in your heart. Keep him first place. Take time to pray. Say, Lord, I'm making myself available to pray for 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Use me. And he'll begin to. He'll start using you. Amen. Father, we thank you today for your word. Thank you for using us. Thank you for using this ministry. Thank you for raising this ministry up. Thank you for Clinton and Sarah Utterbach, thank you for their faithfulness, as you said, to give us the good word of God. We thank you for that, Father. And we honor them for their faithfulness and their steadfastness. And we thank you, Father, that you've got plans that we know not of at this point. Some you're beginning to reveal. And we make ourselves available. Father, as we sang this morning, we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to you. Use us to fulfill your pleasure and your design. For you've given us the heathen for our inheritance. And we thank you, Father, that you desire to break the bondages of sin and sickness and disease and all of the ilks of society over man. And it's going to take prayer to pray out your plan. And we know the devil's already defeated, but he blinds those that are lost. And so, Father, we thank you. Thank you for the great revival that is happening here on this East Coast. And we see this land is taken, and we see ourselves right in the middle of it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.